Wide Crew Quiet Tip, this is Nesk Emanuel, and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM in London and Squamuk Radio 91.1 FM in Squamuk Ulug.
Thanks, Nesky. This is The Bike Show. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. And my name's Jack Thurston. On this week's show, we've got a pretty jam-packed show for the next half an hour of bicycling radio. And we've got news of a major victory for British cyclists against plans to use the highway code to crack down on bicycles. And we're making a short trip to Paris to see what's happening over there and finding out about the new Parisian love affair with London's very own Brompton folding bicycle. And we're going to be taking a trip away from two wheels to one wheel with a feature on unicycling. But first, this. That was a very exuberant Be Your Own Pet with Bicycle, Bicycle, You Are My Bicycle, specially chosen for Paul, Art Rocker Paul, who's heading out on his bicycle off into the night or the early evening in a pair of what looked like Dunlop Green Flash and a very fetching pair of Lederhosen or hot pants or something like that. These Art Rocker people, you know, always ahead of fashion. I think that is the word for it. Well, as I said at the introduction to the show, we are going to be paying a little bit of attention on this week's show to a major victory achieved by the Cyclist Touring Club and other cyclist organisations who have fought a rearguard action against government plans to use a revision of the highway code to make it difficult for people on bikes. The plans were basically, well, quite a complicated set of things, but it all related to this rewriting of the highway code and essentially some redrafting of language which would kind of encourage people to use cycle lanes or cycle tracks where they were provided. And we all know that cycle lanes and cycle tracks and cycle paths in the UK are often some of the most dangerous places to ride a bike. They start and they stop. They take you on a wild goose chase up some hill somewhere. They're full of broken glass and you're in exactly the wrong place often in terms of road positioning to ensure your safety. But nevertheless, government was pushing ahead with these things, which a lot of people thought were going to raise dangers that bicyclists involved in collisions when they were not riding on these cycle paths would be liable to contributory negligence, I think the lawyers put it. Basically, if you weren't in the cycle path and there was one there and you're involved in a collision, it is your fault, whatever is the actual circumstances of the collision. But the CTC and others have fought against this. 11,000 people wrote to their MPs about it, and 20,000 signed an online petition at number 10 Downing Street. Apparently some MPs came in behind the campaign, and it's all turned out pretty well. So that shows that you can fight the power with a bicycle. I'm sure there's still a lot more things that can be done. And if London is looking for any role models for how to have a good, positive attitude towards cycling, they could do a lot worse than look at across the channel at Paris. London may have got the Olympics. It may be that the Tour de France is starting in London this year, but Paris is doing some pretty startling things to make itself a more bicycle-friendly city, including the provision of 20,000 easy-to-hire bicycles that you essentially just can pick them up anywhere in the city, just check them out. I think you'd probably do it by mobile phone or swipe card, and I think you pay something like €1 an hour, you can leave them at your destination. And 20,000 new white bicycles, essentially, is the scheme, and it's pretty good. I happened to be over in Paris at the weekend and went along to the Fête du Vélo, which is a kind of Parisian version of London's Bike Fest, involving lots of different stands there and a lot of rides going around the city. This is something that Bike Fest should replicate, I think. Bike Fest tends to be in London just a load of government bureaus handing out leaflets and some sort of worthy NGOs and a long queue for Dr. Bike. But the Parisian affair was a lot more lighthearted, a lot more fun. And I went along and asked a few people what they were doing and what kind of things they were there to talk about. And I started by speaking to Sebastian, who runs essentially the Parisian version of Velorution, kind of the most forward-looking progressive bicycle shop in Paris called Vélo de Paris, kind of that says what it is on the tin. But I asked him specifically about the Parisians' new love affair with London's very own Brompton folding bicycle.
We love folding bikes like Brompton because it's very easy to ride with this sort of bike, because big city with a lot of steel bicycle, and then you go to the office. If it's raining, you take a taxi or metro. Brompton is very nice, and they make some lovely colors, and we can put some bags to go to the office, to go shopping, and very smart.
And how many Bromptons do you sell a year? Is it increasing?
This year, last year we sell around 80 Brompton, and we hope this year we make 100.
So is it common to see Bromptons on the streets of Paris? Because in London, you see them everywhere.
Yeah. It's a beginning in Paris, because I have the shop since 10 years ago, and at the beginning we sell maybe two of them, and now it's great.
So I've stepped next door from Sebastian's stand to another stand which is run by Sebastian, but this is the Cannondale stand. Welcome to the bike show.
Yeah, welcome to Cannondale booth.
And so you are selling bikes from Cannondale, which is an American manufacturer, to France.
Yeah.
Is that an easy job?
Yeah, it's quite an easy job. In fact, Cannondale has been really famous in the world of mountain bike and road bike, really famous for being the first manufacturer to create road bike with aluminium, which at the time, for 20 years ago, was not that usual at all. And we stepped into really high-end productions, really quality productions. We have lifetime warranty frame. We spend a lot of money on developing, testing. We have professional teams in road bike and mountain bike that really enable us to develop special technology adapted to the urban market these past days. So
So French people don't have a problem with mondialisation with bicycles because they like to buy the French cars. You don't see too many American cars, but they're happy to buy the American bicycles, yeah?
American cars is not really adapted to the French street. I think that's one of the main issues. Now, the thing is, I think in sports and in general, when it's leisure, people are really open-minded. And when you prove that you have a good product, people understand and they don't really mind about if it's American or if it's German or Dutch. It's not a big issue at all.
So what kind of cyclists are there in Paris?
In Paris, you've got really different type of cyclists. That's really surprising. It's really big market for urban people, urban riders. There are really, really a lot. There are also a lot of people that are riding road bike, that are riding mountain bike. It's not easy for them. I mean, they have to travel a lot. That's the kind of people we meet really often on really far away events from Paris, like when you go to a Freeride Classic in Les Deux Alpes. It's the really big show for mountain bike. You see a lot of people from Paris. They're always the ones that are really motivated to go riding out of Paris. And for urban, it's really, really big in Paris. More and more people are using the bike. I mean, I think it's a bit like in London. I mean, the traffic jam is really important in Paris. It's pretty hard to find a place to park, and people really find easy to travel on their bike. And it's going to be really redeveloped with things like the town hall from Paris is developing. There are going to be 20,000 bikes that are going to be put in Paris that you will be able to take. You pay for a while, you put it back in the garage. And those type of initiative is really helping to develop urban transition in Paris.
So on your stand, the bikes which have really caught my attention are some very stylish, chic black bikes with leather trim. Let's take a closer look at a couple of those.
Behind the vintage, the idea was to create a segment in our urban category. We have some really good designers, one of them being Tony, that have really been thinking about developing a special segment that would enable people to realize. You know, we're at the beginning for our European headquarters, we are based in Oldenzaal in Netherlands, so it's a bit inspired by the Dutch bikes. You can see it from the design. So what we wanted a bike that was inspired by the old Dutch bikes with really high-end technology, and that is really, really chic, like you said, and really developed around this theme. So we chose the black color, really really matte color, in order to make it really really nice, really class, and also easy to take care of. And we developed a segment of four bikes around the vintage in the street segment. And you can find some bikes with derailleur equipped or Nexus equipped. Everything is based around the design, but also industrial design. Like you will see, there's integrated cable routing inside. You have integrated brakes, integrated suspension in the head tube, that is our head shock technology. We really worked a lot on integrating things on the bike to make it really, really nice.
So these are bikes that can take a little bit of punishment and neglect, you might say, and they're not going to go wrong. They're a bike you can service once a year or something like that, and it's not going to give you any problems.
Exactly. In fact, what we think is our bikes for urban are made for people who are using the bikes every day. It's like the second car for them, and people are using the bike every day to go walking. They want to sit on a bike, go riding, put it back in the house, go back next day without servicing the bike. And that's what we've been working on with real close partnership with people like Shimano that are developing a lot of things for urban bikes. So we want something that is really reliable, and so that the people don't have any issues when they want to go walking.
And over here there's a jet black track frame bike, although I wouldn't say you would use that on the track, but it's that style of bike, but it's a kind of bicycle messenger style bike. Is there a big fixed wheel culture in Paris?
No, not at all. In fact, this bike was only sold in US. And our dealer in Paris started to have some demand from the people who've been watching it on the internet. So he decided to have five bikes in his stores. So we send those bikes from the US especially for him. So today we have only six bikes like that in France. And they are all at Les Vélos Parisiens in Paris.
Is there a bike messenger culture?
Not at all, not in France. It's not famous at all. It's not typical at all. You got some a bit in Switzerland, but in France it's not common at all. Some companies are starting to develop that, but it's not in the mentality of the French people yet. Not like in US. Not at all. But
that terrible sound. is the sound that is a nightmare for all cyclists. It's the sound of a bicycle wheel going over broken glass, and it's an extraordinary machine here at a stand advertising the Dutch Perfect no flat tire tire, and it basically has a wheel turning on a surface of broken glass, and the wheel is resisting puncture and apparently is guaranteed for up to 1 year, absolutely no puncture guarantee. To explain a little bit more about the Dutch Perfect no flat tire, I'm here with Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, welcome to the bike show.
Hello.
And so what is special about this tire?
It has a very soft thing inside, and all the glasses, the other hard things, they are bumping. They don't go through the soft pusher.
So can we take a look at one of these tires a little more closely? So it's a kind of quite a big tire. It's a classic kind of city, urban tire with a thick tread.
And here you have it's very strong here. Here it's a normal.
It's quite thick, so it has quite a cushion.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it a little more heavy than a normal tire?
It's a little more heavy, and you have to pump it up very far.
The guarantee is for 1 year, but the tires must last for more than 1 year.
Yeah, the tire can stay 6 or 7 years, no problem. But they give 1 year guarantee because there are cyclists who are cycling a lot.
Where are they from?
They are from Holland. It's a Dutch concept. It's a family enterprise. They had this idea, and it's a very good idea.
So you're selling a lot?
Yeah.
So how many of these do you think are on the streets of Paris now?
In Paris, 5,000, 10,000 maybe.
And what's the price?
The price is normally 35 euros for one tire.
Well, good luck with it.
Okay, thank you very much, and goodbye to all the English cyclists.
Thank you. Well, let's have a little final listen to this terrible, terrible sound of a bicycle wheel on broken glass. Well, I've come over here to the stand of Les Derailleurs, and I'm speaking with Vincent, who is with the club, and this is a cycling club. There are many cycling clubs in France, but this one is a special one. Welcome to the bike show, Vincent, and tell me about your club.
Okay, my club is Les Derailleurs de Paris, but we exist also in all France. We are gay, lesbian and friendly mountain bike club. And we are now affiliated to the French Federation of Cyclotourism. I don't know the exact word in English, but it's a way for us to open a little better, a little more our club and our activities.
And how many members do you have?
100 members in all France. Most of them are in Paris.
And what kind of activities do you organise? Is it long rides or day rides or what kind of thing?
In our club, we organise each Sunday one ride, 5 or 4 hours mountain biking in the forests around Paris. We go with the train, and it's possible to take the bike in the train during all the weekend in Paris. So it's nice, and it's in the forest. There are a lot of forests around Paris where it's amazing to ride. And we organize two weekends and short holidays in all France.
France is the world's most visited country. I think the statistics say that more people come for their holidays to France than to any other country in the world. And of course, there's all the French people as well who like to make their holidays in France. Is it common for people to make a holiday on a bicycle?
I think more and more there are a lot of ways to ride on a bicycle. There are a lot of little roads, so it's possible to ride with a normal bike, a road bike, or it's possible too with a VTC, I don't know, a, a bike for all the ways, or with a mountain bike. So it's with the progress in the technologies, it's possible for each age to have the fun with one kind of bike.
And so what was the thought about setting up a gay and lesbian friendly bike club? Was it there was a problem with the other bike clubs? They were not friendly?
Okay, I think it was not so easy for gay and lesbian to do sports perhaps 10 years before. The society is more open now. Now it will be perhaps not so necessary. But I think for some people, for some gay and lesbian people, it's always difficult to be themselves, it was a way to for a better integration in the society. And now we our choice is to say we're saying to us we want a better integration from the gay and lesbian in the society, so we have to open ourselves to the other.
So you have members who are not gay or lesbian or straight people?
Yes, it's the beginning. Most of us are gay or lesbian, but some friends are coming with us who are straight.
and if you were giving some recommendations for English people to come to France to go cycling, where would you recommend is the really good places to go?
A really good place to go. It depends on what you prefer. Perhaps if you want to see in little ways Bretagne, and if you prefer mountains with a lot of sun, perhaps in the south of the Pyrenees. There are a lot of ways near from Perpignan, Narbonne, Corbière. It's wonderful and amazing.
And will you be watching the Tour de France this year?
Oh, from time to time I'm looking the Tour de France, but I'm always surprised when I see, for example, that a big rider is very tired one day and in a super form the other day.
Oh, it's magic.
It's magic.
Well, there's some very welcome skepticism from Vincent ending that package from the Fête du Vélo in Paris, which was really very nice. And while I was in Paris, I happened to run into Mike Ray, who is a keen unicyclist over in the United States. And I collared him and asked him to tell me a little bit more about whether unicycling had a place outside the circus.
I guess the sport has been evolving in recent years, and especially we're seeing a new push towards mountain unicycling or off-road unicycling, especially in the States.
They're riding on off-road trails?
Yeah, off-road unicycling is kind of pushing the sport, you know, sort of out of the realm of circus, I think, and you know, a small niche of people into a wider, broader audience, because it sort of has this allure of, I guess, being kind of extreme, kind of an extreme sport, which I'm not really into it for that, but a lot of people, you know, want to get into it for that.
How hard is it to ride a unicycle for a start, and then how hard is it to ride a unicycle down a mountain?
What I've generally heard is that it takes about 30 hours to learn to ride about 15 feet.
And right, does it get quicker after that?
Yeah. I mean, then you have to learn how to turn around corners and stop and start. And so it's a practice-oriented sport. It takes you know, a lot of time to practice and a lot of time to work up to it, but it's extremely rewarding, you know, in that you do something small and you're very excited that you've accomplished it, and it's a great feeling, too, to be able to ride.
And then making the step to off-road.
Yeah, I bought a unicycle in the States at a rummage sale for $3 and just decided to learn how to ride it. And then it's just sort of a natural progression. You ride down the street, you learn to ride on all the obstacles in the street, and you want to kind of challenge yourself further. And then you hear about off-road unicycling, and you can pick up an off-road model, which is sort of a little bit beefier, bigger frame. It's better to ride on. And they have a wider tire. I have a 3-inch wide tire on one of my off-road models. It's got hydraulic brakes. It's great for, you know, downhills or uphills or whatever you want
to
do.
So you have more than one unicycle?
Yeah, I have 5 unicycles right now, but there's a lot of people with many more unicycles, you know, that have, and I sort of do it as a hobby. There are people who get into it.
So talk through a little bit the technical side of the machine itself. Does it have a brake?
most unicycles don't have brakes, so they started to put unicycles, on the off-road, some of the off-road models that when you go downhill for a long time, the brake is really nice to have because the wheel is fixed. It's a fixed gear, just like a fixed gear bicycle. You can pedal backwards the same way you can pedal forwards. And that's why you can see people, you know, sort of standing in one place, going back and forth. That's called idling on a unicycle. And it's just basically, you know, you can pedal it forward, pedal it backwards. You can hop on the unicycle to hop up obstacles. They've started to put handles on the seats. You reach down and grab sort of right on the seat. And then you can hop up curbs very easily. People now are hopping up, must be close to 4 feet, you know, a meter and a half up high from the ground while riding some of the records. So one of the guys in Canada is I got the record on that now, I believe. But the Canadians dominate the sport right now. They're very, very strong unicyclists.
And you're from South Dakota, so is there a big scene there?
We actually have a unicycle club in South Dakota. We're going to hold the Nationals, North American Nationals event next year in 2008 in Rapid City, South Dakota. So we'll have everyone from North America coming to South Dakota for the event. We'll be doing several off-road races and then have the gym competitions. It was kind of like figure skating only on a unicycle inside of a gym, that sort of competition. And then several other races and things like that.
So what's been your most epic ride on a unicycle?
I did a 50-mile ride in the Black Hills of South Dakota. There was about 3,000 feet of elevation gain and drop on the loop, and I was in severe pain afterwards. It was stupid. I had a lot of fun, but the last 10 miles were downhill, and that was the hardest part because on a unicycle, you can't coast. You have to sort of backpedal to keep yourself from going too fast, and so my knees were just totally swollen at the end. I was in great deal of pain. I thought it was a big event, you know, a big deal to go 50 miles, but I logged on to the global unicycle site, and there are many people who've gone off-road with greater elevation gain much, much further than I have, so it's just a nothing event, but it damn near killed me.
And do unicyclists tend to be cyclists first, or are there people who aren't really into bikes at all and they're just into unicycles?
The people who are really into unicycles are only into unicycles, but like myself, I love bikes as well, and I kind of got into unicycling through bicycling. But there are people who are just, you know, traditionalist unicyclists, and that's all they do as well.
And are there other kinds of unicycling? You know, do you have unicycle messengers or unicycle tourists, you know, go camping with a unicycle or touring?
That is coming, yeah, and right now there are unicycle tours.
You're kidding.
No, there's a tour going through Europe right now this summer. I know they're traveling through some of the Balkan states and then across into Italy and then up through, I believe, southern Spain on these unicycles called Kokers, which are about through a 1 meter high wheel. The wheel's about a meter, you know, in diameter. So the wheel can travel very fast, you know, with a little bit of pedaling. They go straight line very, very quickly, but they don't turn or stop very well. But you can go up to, you know, 25 miles an hour on one, which is actually faster than you can run. In most cases, so if you crash at that speed, it's really no fun.
And do they have panniers for carrying luggage, or do people have their luggage going along in a van behind them?
I think people are starting to carry either backpacks or like you say, the little bags on the side of the unicycles, kind of racks that would go behind that sort of get balanced out by the way you carry everything. But that can be done also.
So what would be your recommendation for someone who wanted to have a go?
I strongly recommend it.
How do you find a unicycle? How much do they cost?
There's a great website called unicycle.com. They're really the world supplier. They're in the UK. They're in several different countries as well as the United States, unicycle.com. And they have a whole range of unicycles from beginner unicycle you can get into, $70, $80. I'm sorry, I don't know the conversion to pounds right now, but all the way up to, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 you can spend. But it's great to start with just a beginner model because it's going to take you a year before you're ready to go off-road generally.
And in terms of technique, what should people bear in mind when they take their first faltering pedals out onto the road?
There's several different techniques to learn how to ride a unicycle. I learned by holding onto a wall in a driveway and just sort of creeping along the wall little by little. That's one technique. The world champion trials unicyclist who stayed at my house a few weeks ago told me he learned by holding onto a shopping cart in a parking lot. You can do ski poles or hold onto a couple of your friends, their shoulders, and just take a long time to slowly get the idea of the balance of the unicycle. It'll be very strange at first, but if you keep at it, you'll learn.
Well, Mike Ray, thanks very much.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Thank you.
Well, that was Mike Ray of South Dakota, unicyclist, possessor of 5 unicycles. And, you know, I'm going to have to give this unicycling a go. I don't know whether that will merit an entirely new unicycle radio program on Resonance FM, but who knows? And it is about the end of the half hour of the bike show. The clear spot is up next. Just time for me to say thanks for listening, and keep penciling in your diaries the Symphony for Singing Bicycles on the South Bank, 10 a.m. on Saturday, the 7th of July, and there'll be a party from the same time and on Sunday. Well, I think Friday and Saturday. Anyway, that weekend at the same place where we're doing the Symphony for Singing Bicycles, we're going to be having a Tour de France party all day. So drop in, it'd be great. And look forward to hearing from you on the Symphony for Singing Bicycles if you want to take part in it. All the details are on the website, www.thebikeshow.net. Anyway, chapeau to all unicyclists, and stay listening for The Clear Spot here on Resonance FM.
You have one message. Message 1. The message is Resonance 104.4 FM, brought to you by the London Musicians Collective. www.resonancefm.com. I shall now repeat the message. I have a text message for you. The message is Resonance 104.4 FM, brought to you by the London Musicians Collective. www.resonancefm.com. To hear this message again,